tonight's conversation is the continuation of one we had previously, which is Black Men Raising Black Men, Part 2. What do you think, brother?
Hey, man, that's what I'm all about. I do my father's and son's thing.
Mm-hmm.
So this is right for me. I raised a son. He's 26 now. I raised him from the age of 2 till he was 14 by myself. So I think I could be
You qualifying yourself?
I'm qualifying myself.
All right. So what you smoking on there?
I'm smoking on a Nub Cafe. You know, nice, mild. And I'm just doing a basic rum and coke.
Keeping it simple tonight, huh?
Absolutely.
How's the cigar treating you?
Cigar is nice.
Okay.
Cigar is real nice. What you got going on?
Well, I'm smoking the Formula, DBL Formula cigar. Francisco, one of my favorite people. I think Rick was on earlier. It's a nice medium cigar. It doesn't have an awful lot of complexity, but it's nice. It's smooth. It has a little creaminess to it, and I am thoroughly enjoying it. So, and I am pairing my cigar today with an iced tea. And so I can tell that either my wife or my daughters made the iced tea because it is super duper sweet. And I hate super sweet iced tea.
I hear that.
I'm going to have to take a sugar pill or something after this. But so what's up, man? How you doing tonight, man?
Man, I'm good, man. I'm good.
You ready to hop on in this thing?
Let's hop in it. Okay. I appreciate the call earlier.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I said, I'm disappointed I missed last week, but I'm here now.
Okay, good segue. For the people who want to catch up, episode 1, we had a couple other brothers here. We had Cam here. We had Gerard here, and we talked about it. That one, actually, I posted today. So it's on Spotify Music. It's on Apple iTunes. It's on Google Podcasts. It's on YouTube. So feel free to check us out. Hey, Kamina, good to see you. Looking forward to tomorrow. It's going to be crazy. Be sure to check us out. You know, it's out there on all the major platforms. You know, we would love for you to listen and to be a part of that. And so on the last one, we couldn't, we got bogged down a little bit. You know, sometimes these things are organic. They take on a life of their own. And
right.
We got bogged down in the weeds a little bit. Child support hung us up.
Okay.
You know, child support is a sore spot for fathers who have to pay it sometimes. And obviously we're not going to solve all the ills of the world in a 1 hour podcast, and we're not going to solve all the ills tonight in a 1 hour as well, but we did agree that there was a good opportunity to have a part two.
Right.
So okay. I'm kind of glad we have you here. I wanted to once again get the guys back, but I couldn't. But it's nice to be able to have multiple perspectives on something that is so wide ranging.
Right. Like I said, real quick, I raised my son till he was 14 by myself. Then I got married. He is now 26. He has his bachelor's degree in criminal justice. He has a double bachelor's in criminal justice and psychology. He's doing his thing. He's a young man that has made me really proud.
Got you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, people don't know we've been friends for a long time. I actually watched your kids grow up as you have watched my kids grow up as well.
Right.
So let's get into it. I'm a double back before I move forward. Good to see you, Kane. Hey, Wanda, good to see you. Thanks for coming down last week and supporting our third year anniversary. So we talked about some of the things that were impediments to what we felt was the success of the black family and the black youth, which led to the black male in general.
Right.
So I'll come up with some baseline. I mean, you know, our incarceration rate is higher than other ethnicities here in the United States.
Right.
We get stiffer sentences. You know, we do, I don't know, Grand Theft Auto. Another ethnicity does Grand Theft Auto.
Right.
Our sentences are, in most instances, stiffer than any other ethnicity. When it comes to, so we get past that, right? We come to employment.
Okay.
Minorities actually make less doing the same job than non-minorities. Then, and I don't want this to be a black and white thing. We're just using data, though, to illustrate our point. But, you know, blacks get paid less than whites doing the same sort of work.
Absolutely, right.
That's what the data says. Not my opinion. You know, I'm a factual guy. I like to go out and do data, you know, check with the U.S. government, gov.com. So the government is a nice site I like to use when I try to source my data for constructive dialogue. Our pay grade is usually less than.
Right.
We have a higher rate of, we have the highest, believe it or not, rate of unemployment here the United States of America.
Right. I think the United States is, I mean, it's just a good example of, that's just what you just said is a good example of the good old boy network, period. In everything.
In everything.
You know, we talk about these killings, these cop killings. We look at, you know, Philadelphia City, which is better than 50% black, but has about a 60% unemployment rate among blacks. And, you know, something I always point at is if you ever see road crews out working on the roads, you never see none of us working on the roads. You see us holding the signs. The money makers are the white boys, even in the black communities. The money makers are the white boys. So that's just an example of just the whole good old boy network, you know, personified in this country. And, you know, going back to the police, remember initially the police were, I guess, the gatekeepers of their communities. And for a while, it was black police patrolling the black communities. But then what happened is you had an overflow of white folks that wanted to be police, so let's put them in the black neighborhoods. Now they're somewhere they don't know nothing about, and it's taking jobs from the brothers, and now you got constant police killings, police shootings. And again, that goes to my good old boy network theory.
All right. Well, it's multifaceted. It's no easy answer, but yeah, there's some stark numbers that you can use to back up your side of the debate. School. We're deficient when it comes to school. Inner city urban schools are funded at a much lower rate and a lower amount than non-inner city urban schools. So, you know, your educational system is thwarted from the beginning.
Right, right.
Real estate, you know, one of the biggest contributors to wealth among working class families is real estate, your house.
Yeah.
Usually the house is the number one way for people to generate wealth in their you know.
Right, generational wealth.
Yeah, well, but, you know, it's based upon, your net wealth is usually based upon your house in a large sense. Well, when it comes to housing, real estate, you know, we know about redlining.
Right.
And I don't want to get too far off into the weeds, but redlining is there. Minorities, well, blacks. Blacks are denied loans at a much higher rate than non-blacks.
Yeah, exactly.
And if they do get the loans, then they're paying a higher interest rate than non-blacks.
Right.
So, you know, your path to home ownership, which is to be able to have a stable environment to raise your family, is filled with obstacles as well.
Right, right. Basically, everything's been slanted from the beginning of time almost. You know, it's been a movement to, what is it called? Reparations movement. And, you know, sometimes it feels like it's gaining traction, sometimes it doesn't. But, you know, I think it's a valid argument.
Okay.
What do you feel about reparations?
I don't want to talk about reparations. I don't want to get off. Last week I got off, so I want to stay on tack. But, yeah, so I think I was even thinking about cars. You know, I saw an interesting stat. I used to sell cars 10 years ago, and I remember seeing some data. Did you know the person that pays the most for cars in America is black females? Black females pay more. So when you walk, a black female, if you walk into a car dealership alone, they're looking at you as a piece of meat, and you usually pay the most out of any other demographic for a new car. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I could imagine.
Yeah, it's true. I guess, the data is out there. So I think it's easy, we can agree that the hill we have to climb is slightly slanted for or against black American men. Would you agree or disagree? Based upon the data.
I would agree with that. As you know, especially, you know, just even being on a job. Mm-hmm. Even being on a job. You know, we walk into a corporate job. You know, a black woman walks into a corporate job, and, you know, they might not want her there, but they'll deal with her because, you know, number one, she's exotic. And number two, you know, they have to deal with her. And she's a double minority, but when we walk in on a job, they're probably putting up bets as how long it's going to be before we leave because we're threats. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, if men are the leaders of their communities and socialities, I guess, then we are the leaders of ours. And, you know, that's a way that they keep us down.
Mm-hmm. All right, so with that being said, we got a baseline. It's a bit of a rocky hill to success. I don't want to focus on the hill. I want to focus on how do we get to the top of the hill. So what are some of the things you think that we can do? Because right now we're talking specifically about the youth, black men. Black men are, for all intents and purposes, have a target on them from birth, from cradle to the grave. Black men have the shortest life expectancy here in the United States. Last I checked, I think it was 2 years ago, black men life expectancy was 66 or 67. Wow. 20 years ago it was 65. I think we gained a year or two. So out of all the demographics, you got black men, you got white men, you got white women, you got black women. The shortest life expectancy based upon demographic in the United States of America is black men. So we got to do more with less time.
Right.
All right. So what moves us forward, man? And we're talking specifically. I don't want to get bogged down in the ills of society.
Right.
What can we do to prepare our kids, our grandkids, and the kids moving forward to be successful here in the U.S., the good old U.S.?
First and foremost, I just feel like we have to work with our youth, our sons. We have to definitely work with our sons. Again, like I said, when I was raising, I call him Little Reese. When I was raising Little Reese, he had his boys. He had, you know, his friends that he hung out with. But when they were around me, I was all of their dad. And they respected me as that. They got the same thing that he got. And I think that, you know, community is a key factor.
Mm-hmm.
This gentleman, like he said, he's known me forever, and he came to my son's graduation party, and I talked about how we did it. And when I say we, I mean me and all of the brothers that was there. And that's what we got to do. You know, we have to, you know, even if they're not your children, especially the sons, you got to take accountability for them.
So it kind of goes back to that saying, it takes a village. It takes a village to raise a child.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I just feel like that is like key. Too many times we say, you know, well, I can't, you know, I can't do this or I can't say that to this son. You know, I'm a barber. And when they are in my presence, I get women and men that come in and go sit out in their cars and their son in their thing, and I tell them, hey, sit down. You know, because you're going to respect me while you're in my space. And even if they're there, I'll say, sit down, chill out. You know, we just don't, we don't do that no more. It's like, we don't care. I know when we were younger, I don't know about old, but I had neighbors that would be like, Reese, what's the problem? And, you know, that's just, that's a key factor.
Yeah, I think, you know, we all had that growing up. You know, times change, right? I mean, right. I can remember being a young man and walking down the street cussing like a sailor. And, you know, one of the ladies of the neighborhood
snitched on you.
She ain't honestly snitched on me. She just told me off.
Right.
She said, I can't believe, I know your mom and dad didn't raise you to talk like that with a trash mouth. And she, then she went and said, well, next time I see your father, I'm going to tell him
right.
the words that was coming out of your mouth.
Right.
So, you know, nowadays you hear a lot of people say, well, you know, don't say nothing to my kid or yep. don't correct my kid. Let me do it. You know, that we put ourselves in silos where we get offended. Some people get offended if someone else wants to offer constructive criticism. Like nowadays, I think, and you know, people don't see criticism as constructive. You know, it's always just looked at as criticism, you right. know.
Okay.
And we all are subject to it, right? Nobody's perfect. We're all perfectly imperfect.
Right, right. I just, again, I feel like I've been fortunate. You know, I've been cutting hair since 91. I have been fortunate enough to be around good men and good women. And again, I had women who would feel comfortable enough to leave them. And when they were left with me, I was their dad. And it was times where, you know, they would go out and say, Mr. Reese said this. And it would be like, well, were you doing that? Yeah, well, Mr. Reese said it.
Got you.
You know, we have to get back that, to that community. When I was young, I grew up in Alabama. And the neighbors would beat your butt. Well, not beat your butt, but they would get on you and chastise you. But when somebody from outside the neighborhood came around, they would stand in front of you,
mm-hmm.
protect you. And we got to get back to that.
All right. So, understanding that we're going up. Stop looking at my notes, man. This is supposed to be organic. I don't want you to get too far ahead of yourself.
Okay.
But understanding that there is a hill, that there is an incline here in the United States for the black youth and the black male in particular.
And real quick, you know, the word youth, that means a lot. They are youth. So they don't understand the whole dynamic. They don't even realize they're going uphill. And we got to make them understand that.
Yeah.
We got to make them understand that. They don't understand that they're climbing that hill. They're on that incline.
So let me ask you, and I'll ask you guys too. You know, this is, we like to hear your commentary. I don't have my tablet today, so I'm kind of flying with one hand behind my back. But, I mean, at what age is it my responsibility to teach my child that the deck is stacked against them, or is it my responsibility to understand that the deck is stacked against my child? Don't put the burden of them knowing it's stacked against them, but to teach them and raise them so that they have the ability to overcome a stacked deck. What do you say?
I believe that our children look at everything that we do. And you are the first, you know, as I was saying, I've said before, our children look at us, and anything that we can do, they believe they can do better. So we have to lead by example a lot of times.
All right, but do you tell your little Reese is going to school, first grade is probably 5 or 6 years old. You know, you're going to send Reese to first grade and say, you know, the DAC is stacked against you. They're not going to teach you what you really need to know, blah, 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 blah. Or do you tell little Reese in first grade that, you know, you're capable of being exceptional and then do everything you can to be exceptional?
I'll take answer two for that. Because you know, I don't want him to, you know, a lot of times kids are impressionable. Mm-hmm. And you tell them that the deck is against them, they'll go right in, develop an attitude.
Right.
You know what I mean? So you teach them to be the very best at what they do. Mm-hmm. You know? Take no prisoners. You know, you're the best at this. You can do it. I know you can. I've seen you do it before. Mm-hmm. You know, do it. You know, all of that other stuff about you, the deck is stacked against you. At the end of the day, you're the best.
Okay.
That's my way of saying things.
All right, next one. Family makeup. Okay. Data says, this is not me, this is data that says, children do better when they come from a traditional two-parent family household. That's what the data says. They actually do better, they excel better, and they become better adults coming from a traditional two-parent family household. What do you think about that?
I do think, I put it like, I think they're more emotionally sound when they come from a two-parent household.
Why do you think that?
My son, for instance, Maurice is very polite. He has his integrity. He tells the truth. He's a practical type of dude. He thinks things through. Mm-hmm. But he has been called emotionless. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's because he didn't have his mother there with him. Mm. I feel like his mom...
So let's back up a little bit. So you raised him for the most part as a single father?
Pretty much.
Yeah. Okay, so he didn't have that traditional two-parent household.
And don't get me wrong, you know, once I got married, he was 14. You know, my wife was there, but, you know, she even had issues with him. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I can recall a conversation where she got upset with him and started screaming and hollering at him. And he stood there and he listened and he looked her right in the face and said, "Is that all? Can I go now?" Mm-hmm. And then she was on me. "You need to get him." What? I mean, he was polite. He didn't, you know, but he's not very emotional.
Okay. Were you raised in a two-parent traditional household?
No.
Okay. Gotcha.
No, I wasn't.
All right. Do you feel like, as an adult now, looking back, that you would have, did you feel like you missed anything? Not having a two-parent, I'm assuming, in the set of baseline, I guess, raised by your mom?
Yes.
Okay. Do you feel like you could have done better if you had that traditional two-parent household that you were raised in?
I think I would have done better earlier.
Okay. Tell us what you mean by that, please.
What I mean by that is, you know, I had my mother's love. Mother's love is different than a dad's love. Mm-hmm. I feel like I wasn't as disciplined as I could have been. Mm-hmm. I did things that I made a lot of mistakes. I blew a lot of things that, you know, if I would have had a dad to say, "Chill out," you know, again, I would have been great a little earlier.
Okay. Do you think that a single parent, a woman, can raise a boy to be a man?
I think she can raise him to be a good dude. I think that if she has to be a man, you got to see a man. That's what I believe. You know, I'm not taking anything from the single mothers, but that's just what it is. And I would believe that if you ask any of these single mothers out here, you know, that don't have a man in their life or don't have a good dude in their life, whose son has grown up, she might say, I wish I would have had a guy in his life that, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I believe, I was always taught, and now that I'm older, I sincerely believe that it takes a man to raise a man.
Right. Well, like I said, to be a man, you got to see
him. Now, I had two sisters that were single parents, and they raised their boys. And you can raise a boy to be an adult, but... and I'll talk about myself. A lot of the things that I do that I look at as a man were just pattern behavior from my father. My father raised me up. He was the de facto general of the household.
Right.
I'm that way in my household, you know. He was a provider. I'm that way in my household. He was the disciplinarian. I'm that way in my household. You know, he provided the work ethic. I have a strong work ethic. Knock on wood, you know, and he walked and operated with integrity. I try to do the same as much as possible. So I just, a lot of times, you know, once I got married and had a family and had children, I just did what was done to me growing up. I had chores. My kids had chores. I always say all the time, you know, my chores was the mopping the floors, taking out the trash, and vacuuming. You know what I mean? My kids had chores, you know.
So again, I guess that goes back to the point that you do what you see.
Yeah, pattern behavior.
Right.
Pattern behavior, I think, is a technical term. You know, and I had the support. So, you know, I'm just a believer. So what do we do then to repair the black family? Now, I'll go back. Previously, one of our guests said the man needs to be more discriminate.
I don't know that
let me finish. Okay, he said the man needs to be more discriminate in who he lays down with and have a child. And so that, it was an inflammatory statement, but it resonated with me because I had two boys as well, along with my two girls with my wife. And, you know, I'm gonna get tongue tied, but you know, if you're more discriminate about who you lay down with and make a child with, then maybe you hold off until you find that person you want to be with and then have that child so that you can have a two parent household. Does a two parent household have to be married?
I hear what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree in theory, but real talk, that's the most ridiculous shit I ever heard in my life.
All right, Reese, tell me why you think that's the most ridiculous shit you ever heard in life.
Well, what would you say about a percentage of men who get in those years, and you know how we can be.
Now, tell the people how we can be.
You know how we can be. As a man, you know how we can be. At a certain age, you know, and I'm talking, you know, late teens, early 20s, maybe even into the 30s, you know how we can be. You know, to say, nah, don't lay down with her. Nah, I'm going to try it out. That's just, you know. Now, I do believe we need to be safe, but that's just what we are.
Well, no.
I mean, I hear what you're saying. All of that's, you know, like I said, true in theory.
Mm-hmm.
But theory isn't fact. You're a fact person, right?
Right. But the fact says that children do better, and we're talking black kids growing up to be black men, do better when they come from a two-parent household. So if I wait, I didn't say I wait until marriage to have sex. If I wait until marriage to have children, then at that point, the data says that my child has a better opportunity to be successful in life.
You can make data say anything. I truly believe that. You can just like numbers, you can make data say anything. I just think it's all about responsibility. You know, once you decide to lay with that person and she gets pregnant, you know, you can't blame nobody but yourself. So that comes with responsibility.
All right. So let's, once again, I want to focus on solutions tonight.
Okay.
What's the solution then to having that traditional family to raise children? Why are blacks have the lowest familial makeup out of any other demographic when it comes to raising kids. What's the solution? In your belief, there's no absolutes right, you decide to be on the show.
Right. In your belief. I got you.
What's the solution?
I mean, I was just a responsible parent. Period. I was a responsible parent.
Well, we're not talking you. Right. Don't personalize it.
I'll say that we have to be
held. I'm not talking about Reese. I'm talking about the black culture in the United States of America.
Right. I mean, I just feel like we have to be responsible for our children as a individual, as a community. We have to be responsible for our children. We can't be afraid.
How do we be responsible? How do we create that black family unit thing? Because the data says, and men lie, women lie, numbers don't. We can interpret it a lot of ways, but the data
says...
They
won't lie on the data then.
The data says that two-parent households produce better children.
I disagree with better. I disagree with more mentally sound, but
well,
I don't
say
disagree.
Better. More successful, well-rounded children. Better is very vague. More successful children come from two-parent households. I know it's tough, ain't it?
It's tough because you
personalizing it. Don't personalize it. Listen, if I could go back and do it over, knowing what I know now, you know that saying, youth is wasted on the young.
Right.
You know, if I could go back with the knowledge that I have and go back in time and start all over again, I would not have children until I got married. You know, and so my personal thing is, you know, I have two sons. I have two black sons that are now men, you know, in their 30s and late 20s. They're fantastic.
Right.
You know what I mean? In spite of my shortcomings. Let me say that. In spite of my shortcomings, my sons have turned out to be fantastic men. They're both married.
Right.
They're both married to their wives. They both have children. I have 8 total grandchildren between my two boys. Slow down, kids. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I am just as proud of them because they're doing the things that I'm doing. It's just that, you know, I had my first son when I was 16. Mm-hmm. So if I could go back, armed with the knowledge that I have now, I would make better choices. I'm not saying I would not have sex. What I'm saying is that I would not rely on a woman to protect me from pregnancy. You know, men, if a woman say, I got it, because we don't want to use condoms anyway.
No, we don't.
Right?
No, we don't.
If a woman says, I'm on birth control, I'm on something, I got it, then to us, that's the green light to like, yes. Knowing what I know now, going back, I would not leave that responsibility to any woman. I'm still going to have sex with you, but I'm going to protect myself and not have any children until I get married.
So if you're going to be responsible for protection, right?
Right.
Going back, you're going to be responsible for protection.
Mm-hmm.
And some kind of way she gets pregnant anyway. That goes to my being responsible for your children.
If I'm being responsible for protection, how's she going to get pregnant?
It's happening. again, I mean, responsible goes past just, I mean, you know, you talk about numbers, you talk about data, condoms on 100%, right?
If I wanted to give my children the best opportunity possible to be successful running up that hill, that incline that is slanted against us, yes.
Condoms are 100% responsible. That's what I ask. They're 100%.
It's the highest percentage that we have available to us.
Are they 100%?
Nothing is absolute.
If you're in that, she does get pregnant. Your child.
Absolutely. We talked about that last episode.
So I argue that you have to be responsible for your children.
Okay.
We as people have to be responsible.
We
as black men have to be responsible for our black young men. We have to be.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be.
Okay. I agree, but
And again, it's hard because, you know, you got people out there, don't talk to my child, or this, that, and other. Well, you know what? Your child can't come around here no more. If it's that serious. I've had to tell, you know, going back to when Lil Reese was young, I had to tell mothers, you know, well, he can't come around no more because he can't do what I say when he's in my house. I've had to tell mothers that. I've had a mother to come to me and said, well, so-and-so said he can't come over no more. Well, did so-and-so tell you he was jumping on my couch? And I shouted at him.
Not on the sofa.
Yeah, jumping on the sofa. And I shouted at him, and he got upset. She said, well, no, he didn't say that. Oh, okay. Well, that's what happened.
Okay. All right, so family makeup is...
Go ahead. Real quick, because I truly believe that...
Let me ask you a question.
Okay.
If you had the ability to go back armed with the knowledge that you have now, would you wait to have a child until you were married?
No.
Okay. Fair enough.
If it happens, it happens.
Fair enough.
I mean, I would, you know, of course, you know, I would like to
be... You got boys?
I have a boy and...
Talking...
Oh, okay.
Absolutely. Here we go. Wait for a second. Come on over. Hop on in. You know, we do all this around here.
Right.
We always bring our people in.
Can I get a run of coke?
So, real quick. I know you're in the back.
No.
But data says that black men, black kids have a better chance of being successful in life if they come from a traditional two-parent household. I don't know what your household makeup is, with your boys or whatever. Knowing what you know now and wanting to have your children have the best opportunity possible to be successful in life, if you could go back, would you wait until marriage before you had children?
Actually, I did.
Oh, okay.
Actually, I did. Now, mind you, I'm not going to sit here and say that, you know, it was 100% planned. You know, I was forced. And I don't even want to make it sound like kids born out of wedlock aren't unfortunate. But just for the sake of, you know, what you're talking about, yeah. I personally was fortunate enough that happened. I didn't have any slip-ups prior to that.
Mm-hmm.
So... my take on it is this, man. Whether it's a two-parent household or a one-parent household, I think the parent or parents have to be an example.
Mm-hmm.
That's the key. They have to be an example because one thing about kids I've noticed is
they
that...
They do what you see.
They need leadership.
Right.
They need leadership and they mirror what they see. So if it's chaos in a household, you know, and there's no leadership, no direction, no structure, then... that's what their lives will replicate. Mm-hmm. Their lives will replicate a structureless lives. And what that manifests is a child that has no curfew, a child that, you know, basically
does what he wants.
Yeah, does what he wants. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it's not. I'm gonna say the percentages and the numbers would say the two parent household is probably the strongest. But I think even more than that, man, it's the parent, the strong parent, and yep. The parent that. You know, now you got a parent that has two jobs, single parent, two jobs. It's very little they can do because the focus is providing, making money. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
I had family members that had one mom, you know, a bunch of them in the house, and all she was chaos in the house. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Not to the point where it destroyed the house, but it was just chaos. Now, as a kid, house.
Right. Yeah.
But it's
right.
Chaos. You know what I mean? And out of that situation, multiple, I would say out of their four or five boys, four of them ended up incarcerated, mm-hmm. Multiple pregnancies with the girls. It's just
right.
Because you got a lot going on in an unsupervised situation,
right.
You know what I mean? In a directionless situation.
Right. And to what this gentleman is saying, you know, sometimes you just have to play with the hand that you're dealt.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you wind up being a single parent, you got to be the best single parent you can be.
Yeah. And so let me, this is an attack on single parents. Like I said, I had two kids. I have two boys out of wedlock.
I have some great friends.
You know
that
what
come
I mean?
From single
my kids, yeah. There's no absolutes. There's a lot of fucked up kids that come out of two-parent households.
Absolutely.
So there's no absolute.
Yeah.
But the data says, you know, we're talking about...
We're talking about percentages.
Yeah, you know, running uphill. The data says, okay, so I'm going to hop off that because we've been in the weeds for a minute on that. You know, if I had the chance to go back and do it all over again, I would wait until I was married to have kids. You guys, you actually waited till you was married to have kids. Mm-hmm. Shout out to you, good brother. Whether it was accidental or planned.
It was but it was a lot of, you know, me being...
It is what it is. It happened the way it happened, and that's that.
Right. And Reese says that he wouldn't change a thing if he went back. All right, so...
I mean, you know my son.
We don't operate in a silo.
I don't think I would change anything. Now, though my son, like I said, can be a little unemotional.
Right.
Because, you know, he was giving me all the time, and I was in his face all the time.
Right.
He's a great dude.
He is absolutely a great dude.
He's a little unemotional.
You keep talking about you. We're not talking about you. No,
but I'm not the only one who's done that.
We're talking about...
I'm saying that we have to stop trying to, you know, this is what the numbers say and this is what we should do, and just take responsibility.
There it is. But that's even the big thing in the single parent. Responsibility. Right. And direction, and you know what I mean. Having a leadership, mm-hmm. And I'm gonna add another dynamic to it. Oh, before you go on,
uh-huh.
I'm also a stepfather too.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I came into a situation with two boys.
Right.
So that's a different dynamic. Both of different ages. Mm-hmm. One on the cusp of manhood. One pretty much just. I don't want to say infancy, but very young, under five. You
okay.
know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's another dynamic, you know right. what I mean? On top of now, me and my wife, now we have our child together, our son, right. yeah. my youngest son.
Yeah. Yeah. How old you say he was?
My first son is 32 right
Well, no,
now.
I'm saying you have a stepson?
I have two stepsons.
Right. How old are they?
32, 23,
okay.
and 16.
Okay. Okay.
I'm sorry, 22.
Okay.
I got horrible memories.
Now, were their fathers active in their lives?
One yes, one no.
Okay.
One yes, one no.
Okay.
And one father was very, 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 very attached. One son was very attached to his father. One wasn't there,
mm-hmm.
and that was the oldest. And the oldest was at a period where. When I came in, it was kind of like, you probably won't be here. You know what I mean? Mm. And I ended up being there. So that was probably... And let me add on to that.
Go ahead.
I'm a stepson. Mm. So I just... If anybody knew what he was going through, it was me. You know what I mean?
Got you.
So when I came into his life, there was a two to three year period where it was like... Feel out. All right, well, so this guy really gonna be here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, let me start listening to him a little bit. And then at that point, you know, he's already him.
Got you.
He's already him at that point because he's only gonna listen to me so much from 13 to 15. You know what I mean? 13, 15, 16. He's only gonna listen to me so much.
Right, right. And can I, I mean, I ain't saying let's wrap this particular thing up, mm-hmm. but here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
My uncle, who was actually the man in my life,
mm-hmm.
happens to you in your life,
mm-hmm.
is your fault. Because at some point you had a choice. So if you live by that and like everything that happens, that means you're responsible. If that girl breaks your heart when you first met her, you knew it was a choice.
But let me ask you a question though.
Okay.
I get that.
Right.
But can we take the choices of adolescence as the same choices as men? Because adolescent choices is a lot deeper. We've all done some
right. Well, the one
crazy thing.
Right, right, right,
kids,
right. Well,
you know what I mean.
Right. Well, the thing is, I mean, it doesn't have to be adolescence. You can meet an older woman that's gonna treat you dirty, and you ain't think she was at first. Mm-hmm. But when she does treat you dirty, understand. Initially, you could have said no.
All right. So let's move on. Okay, let's move on. Once again, we're not going to solve all the ills in the world. You probably can hang in, man. All right. So family makeup. Woo, we got hung up on family makeup. But the data says, you know, kids that come from two-parent households traditionally do better. Once again, there are no absolutes. There's no absolutes with anything. And so...
I hate it because... Wait a minute. Are they talking about us?
They're talking about us. They're talking about us. Yes. All right?
I hate that data stuff.
We're gonna get out the weeds on that one, man. And then, what about origin? So, I believe... You know, and once again, as I get older, I learn some things, I'm exposed to some things, and I start looking at things a little bit differently. Could you tell her we're in the middle of a podcast? You can sit there fucking with your phone. We trying to solve the ills of the black community.
Yeah, I'm turning it over, man.
Hey, brother, we trying to solve the ills of the black community.
I'm with you.
Nah, I'm with you.
All right, okay, so...
That's your girl. Anyway, origin.
So come on, stick with me.
Okay.
Here in the United States, blacks are taught in schools, that them schools that are underserved and underfunded and stuff like that, that we are descendants of the blacks that came to America on the slave ships, so we're actually descendants of slaves.
We are.
Okay.
We're American descendants of slaves.
We're American. You might be a descendant of slaves.
We're American. I'm not a descendant of slaves.
Let me ask you a question. And this is just opinion right here. But I'm gonna put it out there. If you raise a kid and they're raised up believing that they are descendants of slaves versus they are descendants of the original kings and queens and conquerors of the planet, which one do you think would be more effective to them in helping them the way their self-belief is? Which would be more empowering?
Of course, I mean, the kings and queens would be more empowering.
Mm-hmm.
I'm with you on that. But, I was a descendant of a king, but I'm a clown now.
Well, you're not a clown.
No, I'm just saying.
You're not a clown.
Listen,
I don't fuck with clowns.
My descendants
go ahead.
Were kings and queens.
Your ancestors.
But I'm a dickhead now.
I'm just saying. All right.
Is my son looking at that far back, or is he looking at me now? Going back to what I said, they do what we do. They see us. If they see you buy a house, they know they can buy a house. They think they can buy a bigger house. You feel me? They think they can have a better car.
Go ahead.
All that, and not that you shouldn't know your lineage. You should. But I'm not going to... Listen, that was back then, but here's what we're doing now. Mm-hmm. I mean, what have you done for me lately? That's how kids look at things anyway.
Mm-hmm.
What have you done for me lately? And again, it's important, I do believe, to know your lineage. But when kids are young and impressionable, they're impressionable upon what you do. They don't care about that stuff.
Okay, so I'll consider, is it, they should, I don't know, should they care about it no more than they should care about that the landscape is tilted against them? We're talking about the way I look at it, empowering our kids.
Okay.
If you look at your taught in school, your formative years, the educational system that blacks in the United States are descendants of slaves.
Okay.
Sometimes we have that slave mentality. We say Uncle Tom. to, you know, we assign labels and tags to people depending upon how they act. You know, this person, if you're trying to get along, you're an Oakland Tom. You know, okay. If you're a light-skinned black, you know, you're a house nigger, you know, or you're a field nigger.
Right.
Why do we have to be an Uncle Tom, a house nigger, or a field nigger as opposed to being a king or a queen? Because we were taught that we were either a house nigger, a field nigger, or Uncle Tom, instead of being taught that we're one of the original people that walked the earth and that we are created with the most dominant genetic makeup on the planet. So my belief is this. Like, I think I was, and you know, and I'm going to go back. He's emotional now. He's like four drinks in right now. I should have cut. Don't bring another drink, right? But, you know, we're close, and you put me on to some information about 10 years ago that changed my life. My neighbor put me on to some information, self-empowerment stuff, and I'm an introspective guy. And what I learned, actually it's about 15 years ago now, was that, you know, my genetic makeup, blacks have the strongest DNA on the planet.
Yes.
We're the strongest DNA on the planet.
Right.
Right? The original kings and queens, we, you know, the Moors and all of that went and got the Europeans from wiping their asses with their hands.
Yep.
Sanitation and stuff like that.
Yep.
Washington, D.C. was laid out by a black man.
Yep.
Okay? So we are genetically... And once again, if you don't believe me, Google. Use that phone that you have in your hand that you play games on, or go to TikTok and just Google genetic makeup. Google genes, stuff like that. So
we are blacks, genetically
Africans are the most genetically superior
thank you.
Human being on the planet. Armed with that knowledge, then my the way I looked at myself changed. When I now walk into a room, and I know that genetically, I'm one of the most superior people in that room.
Okay.
When I'm walking into a situation, you know, I don't call myself a nigga any longer. I don't call anybody Uncle Tom. The people, well, my kids now, armed with that knowledge, I taught my kids, hey, you're not a nigga. You're not a descendant of a slave. You are actually descendants of a king or a queen. You know, I refer to my kids as kings and queens because, like you say, it's pattern behavior. And I'm not saying I'm an expert. I'm no way am I saying that I am the model of an expert parent here. Please, I'm not trying to say that. What I'm saying is I was about 40 years old when I started getting knowledge, and I used that knowledge to try to shape and mold my children and my grandchildren now, you know, as a result of it. Mm-hmm. So is it important? To me, it is, and to you, if it's not important to you, that's fine.
No, I didn't say it wasn't important. Out there, I didn't say it wasn't important. I'm just saying, how important is it to a 8-year-old child?
I think it's very important.
Do you?
I think it's very important.
Okay.
I think it's
because, here's the thing: to an 8, 7, 6, 5-year-old child, you know, you're giving them this. You know, what if they hit you with, well, Dad, why ain't you a king?
I am a king. Riches
don't make
a castle,
right.
Don't make you a king.
Right.
What's in here and what's in here?
Right.
How you think about yourself,
right,
determines if you're a king. I got a tattoo, right, of a crown on my hand.
Right.
That's a constant reminder of who I am. And I did that specifically. So when I extend,
when I extend my hand to you, I got the tattoo
last year.
Okay.
But when I extend my hand to you, that's a symbol right there who you're fucking with.
Right.
But, so my kids and them have been armed for a long time, since they were probably late elementary school. That you're held to a higher standard inside this household, and it extends outside the household.
Okay. How long have we known each other?
About 15 years. I was thinking about that the other day.
Okay. How long have I treated you as a king?
Since day one.
Right. Right.
That's how long have I treated you as a king?
Since day one.
Okay.
Right. But I truly believe that because children are the most impressionable, when you have to lead by example, you
have to play the role. You have to be the role. And you can define it as a king or whatever. I guess this is where we agree to disagree. Mm-hmm. But when I think that that's something that they come to their own in their own way. Like when they, my son is 26. He just wanted to find out about his lineage maybe 4 years ago and who he was. I think that the lessons that I, and examples that I gave to him is what makes him the man he is. And I feel like the community as a whole, we have to be examples, because those kings aren't here no more. Oh, I'm sorry. They're here in us, but we have to be their examples. Mm-hmm. Like I said, they feel like everything we do, they can do better. And I want them to feel like that. And so, you know, I say, hey, man, do your thing.
Okay.
Do your thing.
All right. So you, once again, you know, I got some things down here.
Yeah, I got some things down here.
I'm enjoying this dialogue. Shit, we coming to the hour. Once again, man. God damn it. We be spending too much time in the weeds on some stuff. I got some other stuff.
No, this ain't in the weeds. This is a solution.
We gotta come to the hour, right? So, family makeup. You know, I had three things. At least a baseline, let them know they understand that the deck is stacked against them, right? And you feel that we both, I think, agree that not they don't need to know at 6 years old that the deck is stacked against them. It's important that we know that the deck is stacked against them, and we do everything we can to empower them to be exceptional.
Right.
Okay. Family makeup. If you had the chance to go back and do it all over again, you probably wouldn't change what you did. I, on the other hand, would change what I did, because the data shows that two-parent households, and you know what, you don't have to, two-parent households isn't always, I have a kid with a woman, you know, maybe we get divorced and then another woman comes in or another man comes in to create that two-parent household, well, I would probably wish that I waited until marriage to have my kids, so that they have the best opportunity to succeed.
Again, you keep using the word better. I don't agree that the children would be better. I just think with a two-parent household, the children would be more emotionally sound. You have practicality and you have emotion.
Okay, that's what we disagree. I think that
the most emotional dudes are dudes who are only raised with their mother.
All right, but what we're saying right now is that, boy, I don't see that light on that mic. Lord have mercy.
It just went out. It just went out.
Yeah. All right, can y'all still hear us? Darby, if you can still hear me, somebody give me a thumbs up. Boy, here you go. I see that mic just went out. If you can still hear us, give me a thumbs up. Somebody, please. All right, Wanda's giving me some laughing faces. I hope that means the same, that you can still hear us. All right, so there you go. I got thumbs up. Great. All right, so family makeup, we kind of differ on that one. Mm-hmm. Better is not better, but better opportunity. Let me just say it. So now it doesn't make you a better child, but a better opportunity. Lineage, okay. We kind of differ on lineage. I think it's important for kids to know early on that you're not a descendant of just slaves. You know, you're a descendant of, you know, some of the original kings and queens, and, you know, your genetic makeup is superior to any other race on Earth.
Okay, I'm with you. Well, and again, let me hit this disclaimer. I was raised in the South.
Right.
I went to all-black elementary school, mm-hmm. all-black middle school, all-black high school. So I wasn't taught the same thing that you guys were taught up here. I wasn't taught that you were only, you know.
When we say South, what words?
Mobile, Alabama.
Okay, so South.
Yeah, South.
Deep South. Let's make it distinct, because I consider myself born in the South, which is Virginia, but it's not Deep South.
Right,
it's
not
South. It's not Deep South. Yeah. It's just South.
All right.
Yeah, I'm
it's the country.
Look, I'm talking about, so I'm talking about mud bugs and crawdads.
Right. Gotcha.
All right. Beatings.
Beatings.
Essential.
Discipline. Beatings.
Essential.
You know, nowadays, you can't beat your kids. They call DHS and all that. Beatings. You think beatings is is healthy to is an integral part of raising a healthy human being.
I don't call them beatings. I call them discipline with a reason.
Yeah, there we go. I wouldn't say necessary. Reason. I wouldn't say necessary. I think there's different ways you could discipline. That's mm-hmm. one of them.
Yeah.
You know, and my experience with that turned out pretty well. It was a quote unquote, it was a fear factor almost, it was a fear factor.
And then also, you're talking about the difference between girls and boys.
No, we're talking specifically.
No. Right. Okay, we're talking men. We're talking men.
Right.
You know, but when you talk about children, I didn't have to beat my daughter. I could just stare at her and she would get upset.
Let me finish.
Okay.
But I had to raise up on Lil Reese because. As a male, he's gonna try me.
All right, so do you believe in?
I would
judicious. I'm not saying beat your kid for the sake of beating your kid, but if it's warranted, it's warranted, do you believe that's healthy?
I believe in raising a boy
to be a man.
I believe in discipline with a reason. Yeah.
I believe in that being a form of
discipline
consequence.
With a reason.
Let's say that. I believe in that being a form of consequence for a younger male.
Okay.
A younger male.
When they get
yes.
to certain ages, it's
not I don't think it's beneficial at it as a for older male, but I think as a younger male, yes.
What about timeouts?
Timeout.
No beating.
Timeout.
Yeah, right.
I think it could work. It just depends if you have enough ammunition. And enough things to take away. I think it could work. I don't think that is prevalent in our community.
In today's age, timeout to me is time without your phone.
Right, you but that's timeout though. Devices. Yeah, that's timeout though.
So
there has to be something that you're taking away from them. When I was young, it was you can't go outside. You're gonna punch me. You have to be in the room. Right. No TV. Right. That's timeout. Right. Punishment.
In our age, it was punishment. Right. I got him off. I did something that was bad enough. I got beat and put on punishment.
Right.
That's the word.
Right.
I got doubled up.
Yeah,
all right.
Right.
So,
my mother was more like she gave us a choice. You can go in the room for a week, or you can get a whooping.
Exactly.
About 90% of the time, it's like I just take a whooping.
Give me a whooping, man. I can deal with that.
Sports.
What about sports? Some young men just ain't athletic, period. I believe that, okay, some people just aren't athletic.
Can I change that?
Yeah, sure.
And let's not say sports, but let's just say organized activity.
Organized activity. So what's your definition of organized activity?
Because that could be, then? I mean, that encompasses sports. That could encompass
social interaction,
church.
It could encompass, I mean, chess, something. You know what I mean? Something, some sort, Boy Scouts, mm-hmm. something.
Right.
Something that shows responsibility and structure.
Yep. Right.
Okay. Some sort of organization, club, right. affiliation, something of that nature. So, I mean, not just limited to sports. Right.
Some sort of team.
Yes.
Okay. Music.
Again, activity.
Yeah.
That encompasses activity, some sort of activity, or because if you're doing music, you might be in the band or something of that right. nature. Now you could take up a hobby and you know, piano or the guitar or drums, because what that does is you're learning something outside of your norm. It's taking you out of your comfort zone.
And to what he's saying, all of those are disciplines.
Discipline. I think it comes down to that. That's really the thing.
Okay. The reason why I brought that up, because obviously I'm a reader and stuff like that, and I remember many, many years ago, I'm going way back, there was, and this was specifically to girls. Mm-hmm. I will say this was specifically to girls. But the experts, and I don't know who the experts were.
They.
But it made sense to me.
They.
Them.
Them.
The experts said that it was important.
Your children involved in sports as early as possible. And the benefits were if they perceive themselves to be athletes, they're less likely to smoke, they're less likely to use drugs because your body, you gotta be in pristine condition. Athletics creates competition, It helps foster teamwork. Mm-hmm. And we've taken that out a little bit, but dealing with loss. The problem with a lot of people is that now, especially with the kids, and we can go way off, but it was like, you know, sometimes you're going to lose. You're not going to win every game. And you have to be able to accept defeat and use that constructively to come back harder before. So athletics was a key, getting your kids involved in athletics early on. It didn't say any athletics, but athletic was, it was important for, and in particular with women also was pregnancy. Because you can't play sports if you're pregnant.
But also with males, a key component of that is time.
Right.
The time participating in that sport took you away from
the
possible, the possible pitfalls of, or you lessen the chances of getting caught up. Because you get home from practice, and 9 times out of 10, it's late, you're tired, you got a choice. Either you go out or you go home. 9 times out of 10, you go home.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Not 100%, but
so nothing is absolute.
Yeah. Okay, okay.
Nothing
100%. Athletes I know are weed smokers.
Absolutely.
And hustlers. Best athletes.
And hustlers and everything. Well, I grew up with them. Absolutely.
So nothing is absolute.
Right.
But what I'm talking about is you know, trying to do the best I can to raise well adjusted children or serial murderers. One or the other. You know what I mean? But hopefully they fall on the side of well-adjusted adults.
Right.
And then music. The data says music was real important for thinking, because with music, you have to look on it at a note on a piece of paper. You have to play that instrument, piano, trump, flute, whatever the instrument is, to create that. And then you have to be able to hear it to make sure it matches up. So music with kids helped them become better analytical thinkers and better critics.
But all of those that you just named, music, sports, all of those are disciplines. All of them.
I didn't say they weren't.
I'm just saying,
go ahead.
It's all discipline.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to be the practice. You have to be the band practice. You know.
Timing, dependability, responsibility.
Exactly. All of that goes with, like you said, responsibility, timing, everything.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be structured.
Mm-hmm.
There it is.
You know, you have to be structured.
Right.
You know, so.
So do you think that's helpful, or you think that?
Absolutely it's helpful. Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
Oh, fuck. It only took us 1 hour and 15 minutes to come to 100% agreement on something.
Right.
We had to go to overtime to get 100%. We're going to chop this up.
Right.
Yeah. But that was something that I had read early on, and it just made sense to me. So, you know, that was something, and my wife is sitting over there. You know, I had the ability to, and of course we're talking about our girls. You know what? So I'm not going to talk about it. But if I had the chance to go back with the boys, I would do all that stuff. My boys played a lot of basketball, and I just remember when my son finally beat me in a one-on-one basketball game. It was like he won the NBA championship, and I always will remember that, and he always remembers that as well. My youngest son, he still can't beat me, but, you know, that's neither here nor there.
Right.
So,
well, in my opinion, I wouldn't go back to change anything. Like I said, my son, he's a great dude. You know, he and his wife can speak for that. He's a smart guy and all of that. He's just a little unemotional. But in the world that we live in, I would rather be him. I would rather him be an unemotional dickhead than an emotional wreck.
Okay.
That's how I feel about it.
All right. Well, Reese, I appreciate you coming on. It was a lively spirit. You have two black men that have raised black boys to be black men, and I think the consensus is there's no absolute way to doing it.
It's no blueprint.
There's no blueprint. There's no absolute way to doing it. You know, and of course, I welcome your guys. I welcome your guys' feedback on this. You know, I will say there's a problem. There's definitely a problem, and this is just Omar. Since this is my shit, I get to have the final word. but there's definitely a problem with all the stuff that we see out there now. And, you know, we could sit here forever and ever and ever. I'd rather debate solutions than to sit here and just keep complaining and crying about and saying there's a problem and there's no way out, because there is a way out.
Right. And before,
and it starts in the household. It starts in the household. I'm a firm believer it starts in the household, whether it's a traditional household, a non-traditional household. It starts in the household, and it starts from the cradle.
I agree.
I don't believe that there's ever too early to be able to arm a child or empower a child with the knowledge and the wisdom that you are capable of anything and everything that you put your mind to.
Right.
And if you believe that you're capable of that, then you will excel.
Right.
If you and work towards it, you will excel.
And really, to what you're saying, you know, there's no blueprint to anything. You know, I echo the words of my uncle. He used to always say it to me, you know, make it happen. That's what you got to do.
Make it happen. You got to figure out your niche, and you got to make it happen. It don't matter if you're single. It doesn't matter if you're married or whatever. You have to do what you have to do. Once that son is born,
changed for me, and he was the priority, and so I just made it happen.
Okay. And so, as my mama used to say to me,
I understand it today, Omar, you better than that. And now I understand what she was talking about. I am better than that.
Understand that when she said it, as opposed to waiting until I was two-thirds through my life to really incorporate it. So we're going to close. I want to thank Reese for coming out. I want to thank the guys from Fire and Ice for doing this. I apologize we went over. We can't sell it, serve. We can't solve the ills of the world in an hour and 15 minutes. But I appreciate everybody that hung in there. Wanda, you were the best. You get the award for sticking through the whole entire podcast and giving them.
And I will close with what I always close with, which is, if no one told you they love you today,
goddamn self, it means so much more.
Thank you, Reese.